Good morning, Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is WILF's wake-up call. WILF being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We come to you every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock to start your day off with some interesting things to think about. Dick Paddock is our engineer. I'm Lori Hoyt, your host. And Dick is just reminding me to remind our listeners, please get out your pen and paper and pencil, because we always give you some contact emails or numbers to call to continue to understand whatever the issue is we're talking about today. I just want to, before we introduce our guest, I just want to give you a little update about last Sunday. There was a public forum that WILF helped co-sponsor, and it was about that recent Supreme Court decision about taking away any further restrictions on corporations being able to pour money into campaigns and intensify what's already happening, the power of money to influence our legislators. And it's a disaster for democracy. So it was a wonderful forum. Jean Nichol, who was the former dean of the law school and is a professor of law and director of the Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity at UNC, and Chase Foster were the speakers, who really got us, gave us a lot of information and things that we can do to support legislative remedies that might mitigate the effects of that legislation, because we, in a democracy, we can't just let it slide away. We've got to keep up the struggle, and there's things we can do. So for more information, contact Jack Sanders at 919-967-5155, and he can tell you how to get more information, and you can also get him on email at jacksanders@nc.rr.com. Okay, I'm going to turn now to our guest who's been here before, and we love having him on. He's doing a lot of good things for the community, and he is the chair of the political committee of NAACP, and I am talking about William Thorpe. William, good morning.
Good morning, Lori. Glad to be here.
Good. So I know you've got things you want to talk about today, and I think one of the things you wanted to start off was giving a report about something you organized just a few days ago, evenings ago, the senatorial forum.
Yes. This was the second forum that we put together for the community. This was for the United States Senate's forum on Tuesday, April 13th. And at the beginning of the month, we had a forum for the local candidates for the sheriff and county commissioner race in Orange County. So on Tuesday evening, we invited all of the candidates that were running for United States Senate, and we had a great turnout. We had the four major Democratic candidates, the lone Libertarian candidate, and we had a Republican candidate as well. We invited Senator Burr, but he was not able to attend due to the Senate being in session. But it really wasn't about the current senator. We know where he stands. He's been in office 6 years now. So it was really about those that had that were seeking to unseat our incumbent senator, senior senator. So it was a great turnout. I was very proud. We had 11 co-sponsors, along with the Sondheim Stone Center, which was our co-sponsor, but we had 11 additional co-sponsors. They were community groups such as yours, Triangle Women's League of for Peace and Freedom, and so thankful for you, for your support, along with other UNC campus organizations that were supportive of this event. So we really got to talk about some of the major issues confronting our state, our nation, and our world. Of course, we talked about jobs. We talked about health care, We talked about foreign policy. We talked about education. So all of those issues were raised in about a two-hour forum. And we really want to make sure that people understand the significance of this election. Mm-hmm. And part of what we've been trying to do this month is encourage voter registration and voter education. So this was part of that voter education process, knowing who the candidates are and that seek to represent us. And just to let you know, yesterday was the beginning of early voting, so you can actually go vote now. Of course, you can do that in Orange County. There are two voting sites for the early voting. In the southern end of the county, you have the Moorhead Planetarium on the UNC campus. And on the northern end of the county, you can actually go to the Board of Elections office. And so we encourage people to get out to vote. And we have some upcoming events that can kind of inspire and motivate people to make that to make that move.
Well, that is wonderful, because so many times when it's not a presidential election, people get lackadaisical and don't get as excited about it and don't go out to vote. But I'm hoping, with this being a primary for senatorial, that people will be out there and get it together, because this can have such an effect on all of our lives, who our senator is.
Yeah, who our senator is. But so often, Laura, I hear people, as you go about trying to register people to vote and get them out to the polls, you hear people just say, man, I just don't believe in voting. But but the fact is, if you believe in Social Security and Medicaid, Medicare, and you believe in Pell Grants, then you believe in voting. If you believe in roads and hospitals and public schools, public libraries, parks, recreation, you know, youth sports league, police protection, fire protection, trash collection. If you believe in these things, then you believe in voting.
So, you know, I know. I've encountered similar remarks. And, oh, I'm just not political, or I don't care. I said, this isn't about politics. Really, this is about your life.
Daily life. You know, everything you do.
How your kids are educated. How good the schools are. All of the things you just mentioned. And it's amazing to me when people say that.
Yeah. And just recently, President signed the bill to extend unemployment benefits. Now, I mean, if you believe in unemployment benefits, you have to see the connection between your vote and your job, your vote and all of the daily activities that surround your vote. So you can't really say with any conscience that you don't believe in voting, because you really, if you're saying you don't believe in voting, you don't believe in life here in America. And that's what we put together these forums to educate the public. And we really want to talk about, before we run out of time, I definitely want to talk about two projects that we want to get the community behind.
Well, let's get started, William. Let's start with the first one.
Okay, what we're trying to do and this is, again, it takes the community. And we set up a website called wethepeoplecanwin.com. And let me explain
just
what we're trying to do.
Just repeat that, because we want to write it down, folks.
Okay, it's we the people. That's the first three words of the Constitution.
That's a good one.
wethepeoplecanwin.com. wethepeoplecanwin.com.
Great.
And they can get more information online about what I'm getting ready to speak about. And what we're trying to do on Monday, April 26th, is have a midnight jobs summit. A midnight. We're trying to get people at midnight. We haven't got a location yet, but it will be somewhere in Chapel Hill to get together. We want scholars. We want elected officials. We want candidates. And we want voters to come out at midnight.
To where?
We haven't got the place yet. We're in the process. We're organizing. It takes the people. You know, it's not something that, as a coordinator, I do by myself. It takes the people. And that's why we want people to join with this effort. So this is just tonight. We're in the idea phase, and hopefully by this weekend we'll have a place. But it's not something that, when we put together these projects, just like we did with the Senate forum, it's not just one group or one individual. Mm-hmm. It takes a community to come together and say, this is what we want. The reason why we got so many candidates to come is because they saw all the co-sponsors there.
Yeah.
You see, and that means something. But if it's just William Thorpe saying William Thorpe wants the Senate to come, that's just one person.
Yeah.
But when we say we have the backing of the community, yeah, it's we the people.
And when we do get where it is, folks, we will announce that on the radio, even if William's not here with us. That'll be probably next week we'll be letting
right
you know.
And why we say midnight is because we know midnight is the time when things are dark. It's midnight in our economy. Things are
yes.
murky. It's midnight in our world.
Yes.
As your organization of peace and freedom, we see the violence and wars all over the world.
Yes.
And so it is midnight in our economy. But as the Psalmist writer wrote in the Bible, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so in the morning time, we can do something about it. We don't have to cry and complain and pout about our suffering or about our condition. We can do something. So midday, we're asking all the community to come to the UNC pit area, and we're going to have a march to the ballot box. And we call it the pit to the planetarium.
Wow.
Pit to the planetarium, march to the ballot box. As you know, the pit is less than a quarter of a mile from the planetarium, which is the site of early voting. So we want to rally the community to march with us, which is a symbolic march, but a physical march as well, to the polls, to the ballot box. That way we can influence the decisions that will determine the direction in which our society will go. So it's midnight in our economy, but it's midday in our politics. And so we hope the people throughout Orange County can join us in this effort. But it would take the people, and that's why we call the website WeThePeopleCanWin.com. It's the people. First three words of the Constitution, we the people, and what that represents. And this is the thing, and you know, I mentioned this at the forum the other night. When we say we the people, we know historically that all of us weren't included in We the People when the Constitution was signed in September 17, 1787. Certainly African Americans, almost all of whom were slaves, were not part of We the People. Women were not part of We the People.
That's right.
When it was signed. Young people, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, were not part of We the People. Poor people were not part of We the People historically, because voting was seen at the founding of this country as a privilege by the property owners only. Mm-hmm. So we've always had to work. There's always been a struggle in America to make the system work for everybody. And so that's why we have to work together, because working together works. And so that's what we have to do. And it's never been a time when there hadn't been a struggle, because there are forces that want the American political and economic system to serve just a certain few. And so we have to make it that we the people can win. It's not an automatic thing.
No.
You know, that's why we say can win, not necessarily will win. There's no guarantee. But if we work together, we can provide the hope and positive possibilities and help make America better and improve the quality of life for people living here.
I think that's such an important point, you know, that it's a constant process for America to be the America of our dreams and vision. You know, and from women to African Americans to poor people, it's a struggle in every generation to make that shining dream have more reality. And with what I mentioned at the beginning of the program, the forces of money, which we've seen how they can almost destroy a nation, and they are still bent on keeping their privilege and power, and they will do anything to keep it. And so we are in a particularly difficult struggle right now, William. And I'm so glad that you have taken up the sword, you know, and charging forward to get the community mobilized to realize we the people do have some power, but we've got to organize ourselves.
Right. One thing about that court decision, we can kind of understand the concentration of economic power in terms of corporations. We can understand that from a financial aspect, but when it gets to the editorial prospects. Try to get this out this morning.
Yeah, it's a little early in the morning.
I tell you, but when it gets to politics, that's kind of hard to understand because we all have the power of our vote. So it matter, no matter how rich a person is, you still have just one vote. No matter how poor you are, you still have one vote. So seeing that there are more working class, more middle class and lower class Americans than there are rich Americans, you would think that the ballot box would be the great equalizer. But now we're seeing that not even in terms of our electoral system is that possible. So that's a real strange phenomenon that's going on now with concentration of not only economic power, mm-hmm. but now we're seeing that concentration is moving more and more and more mm-hmm. into the political atmosphere. And this is where we're really supposed to be able to have influence in those decisions.
And we may think, you know, they probably always have. The rich always want to try to run things. But I know I just heard a recent statistic, about 20 years ago, there were, 800 lobbies. I don't remember the numbers. And now there may be 8,000, right. I mean, the number has just absolutely multiplied. So there's a reason that these corporations are spending millions of dollars on these lobbyists, but the big power that they have over we the people has been control of the media. The media is controlled by four major corporations now, and we the people have got to educate ourselves to withstand that power of the barrage of misinformation that they pour onto the TV and airwaves. Just going to take a break now. Will you catch our breath? And we have an announcement here for WCOMLP, where we're so happy to be today. There's going to be a fundraiser for them. So this is going to be for us. That's right. We are them. We are they. We are us. Okay, then the fundraiser is going to be a real fun thing. Hooperville, the legendary Americana band from Chapel Hill, will be returning to the stage for one night only house concert to benefit WCOM on April 25th. So mark your calendar, folks. If you enjoy roots music from Bob Dylan, the Flatlanders, and Uncle Tupelo, you don't want to miss this show. Space is very limited. It is going to be a house party, which makes it a lot of fun. We don't have the venue yet for that, but to find out more about the show and to purchase tickets, visit house.taprootradio.com. House, this is all small letters, house.taprootradio.com. So put that on your calendar if you want to have a rousing night and help out this wonderful station, which is run by volunteers and provides you some of the most interesting radio that you can get. And if you're having difficulty getting the radio station in because it is low power, you can stream it live at WCOMFM.org. And for our radio shows, Triangle Wilf, we get them taped and Dick gets them on our website. So you can, and our radio shows, even the back ones, we have all of them, are the pertinent issues of the day. So they are not out of date, or very few of them are. And you can go to TriangleWilf.org. And remember, Wilf has that P in it for peace, TriangleWilf.org. And you can link to all of our radio shows. Okay, we're back to William Thorpe, our guest today, who is the chair of the political committee of the NAACP. Dick, you want to tell us something? Oh, my gosh, Dick, thank you. What would I do without you? Dick keeps me in line here. Yes, we have an underwriter, the Internationalist Bookstore, which is located at 405 West Franklin Street. And you can find out more about that at internationalistbooks.com. all one word, internationalistbooks.org. I was in there just a few days ago, and it's a small store, but a wonderful store. They have a lot of, it's so great not to be in a big box store and to be in a local run, and that also was volunteer run store for, 20 or 30 years now. Yeah, it's a Chapel Hill landmark. If you're new to the area, don't miss the Internationalist, and it's also a community resource. You have lots of information there about the kind of things we talk about, how to get ourselves educated and organized so that we can withstand the power of those corporations and make it a country that's a democracy for we the people. And back to William Thorpe, who's talking about this very issue.
That's right. And like I said, for more information, we want all the listeners to go online so that we can stay connected. And that web address again is wethepeoplecanwin.com. And on there you'll find also we have a link to the video of the forum. So if you weren't able to attend the forum, you can go online to wethepeoplecanwin.com watch the videos, like a loop feed that you can watch the entire forum. So you need to know, you know, who you feel is the best candidate that will represent the state of North Carolina. This is a very critical election, very critical time for our nation and for our world. So we definitely want to provide that as a service to the community.
And some really good candidates are trying to help out the state and be there for we the people. So there's really some hope there, and we've got to fight for every little ray of hope we can.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you said at the beginning that you had two things you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that all your listeners were aware of these two events that they could be a part of. We encourage them to participate, and that is, and we'll get more information out next week.
Okay.
Perhaps you could have mentioned on this program about that midnight job summit. One of the things that we wanted to do.
Oh, that's right. We didn't get that in. This is going to be a lot about jobs.
Yeah, it's going to be about jobs because
that's a hot issue.
That is a critical issue for North Carolina. We have
terrible.
The highest unemployment rate that we've ever had since it's been recorded, since the current calculation methods in 1976. And one of the things we wanted to do was actually encourage the governor and or the speaker to call or convene a special session of the General Assembly to deal with jobs, just deal with jobs. We're in a state of emergency right now. And so whenever you see the numbers at 11.2%, you know it's at least double that, because that only that number is just for those that are actually officially looking for work. And so many people have really lost hope in terms of our economy and in terms of our economic system, that they're not even looking for work. So we're asking the governor to convene companies and businesses and scholars and come up with a economic development plan for the future of North Carolina. Where do we go from here now? We've lost over 280,000 jobs since December of 2007, and 102, including 102,000 in manufacturing alone. And many of those manufacturing jobs have been outsourced overseas. Mm-hmm. So that means we probably won't get those jobs back. Mm-hmm. So this whole idea that we need perhaps a green economy, green jobs to come in. Mm-hmm. See, these are the kind of issues that we have to raise. What kind of jobs are going to be available to provide for North Carolina families? So we put this issue before, you know, in the Senate race, put it in before the county commissioners. But it's now, as a people, we have to stand up and rise up and say that we demand decent and meaningful employment, because all of that relates to the educational system, that relates to health care, that relates to a livable wage for worker, you know, that relates to collective bargaining, you know. So all of these issues are really intertwined, if you will. And so that's why we say we focus on that job summit, but at the same time, that morning, midday, noon, we can actually do something about it as we go to the ballot box and make sure that we can elect the kind of leaders that are going to be, you know, represent us, whether it be in the State House, whether it be in the national governing body of the U.S. Senate, mm-hmm. That will represent us on these critical issues.
Now, William, you're suggesting then that we should all be calling the governor and the speaker, which would be, what, Joe Hackney?
The speaker, Joe Hackney.
Hackney.
Well, what is on May 12th, so really a week after the election, the General Assembly will actually go into session. It's called the short session. But what we're saying is that they need a special session dealing specifically with economic development, considering this high rate or this record rate of unemployment and how mm-hmm. North Carolina is going to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And so the governor's, bless her heart, she's doing all that she possibly can, but it has to really come from the people. Mm-hmm. We can't sit back and say, okay, the governor, speaker, it's on you. It's what we as a people can do to encourage our elected officials to offer suggestions in terms of what we have to do. We know that we have to have a new business model. We can't depend on major Fortune 500 companies now. There may be medium-sized companies, small business, two-person business, or one-person business. Mm-hmm. That may be the new model now. Self-employment mm-hmm. may be the new model in terms of what we're saying for our economy. Mm-hmm. So will the state government, help and assist small businesses mm-hmm. now? You know, we can have a bailout for the banks. We can have a bailout for Main Street and some of the small businesses as well.
Okay, I just want to pick up 2 points that you made that I think are really good. One is you mentioned green economy, and I think that there is such a space there. If we push the our government to create, we could be manufacturing our own solar panels here. We could start up some manufacturing. We could be doing some wind turbines here. Instead of importing them from China, which I understand they're presently coming from. And if we start outfitting every house and getting solar panels on, there could be so much work for people doing that physical work and being trained to do that. So that's just something I don't want us to lose sight of and talk some more about how to really move this state, because we are already going backwards with that coal plant being built at Cliffside, which is just terrible, and we want to breathe our air. I'm talking fast because we're getting ready to close, but the other point was, you know, our leaders, they don't really lead. They have to be pushed. We have to be the engine, and they're the caboose, because politicians want to be reelected, and if they step too far ahead of the people, or they think they're stepping too far ahead, they do not do that. They are pretty timid. So we, the people, need to give them a big resounding energy push to get them moving on these issues. And William, you've outlined this so well, and you're doing so much for the community, midnight to midday, and midday at the Pit at UNC.
Noontime. That's right.
Midday, noontime at the Pit to get a whole group of us to march just a quarter of a mile over to the planetarium and get our voting done. That's wonderful.
And see, you can actually vote today. It's not saying that you can't vote today, but we're saying let's make it a collective exercise.
Yeah.
Let's show the power of our vote, and let's do it all on the 26th together. So if you haven't done it by then, we certainly we encourage you to come out and bring friends. We have a slogan. We say arrive with five. Don't just come to yourself.
Oh, I like that.
Arrive with five.
Arrive with five. Okay, listeners, we got our things to do to make this a better world for ourselves, our kids, and people like me who are getting older, our grandkids. Dick is giving me signals. Are we getting ready to wrap up? This is Wilp's Wake Up Call, and we've been with William Thorpe, the political chair of our local Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP. This is Lori Hoyt, your host, and we're with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, coming to you from WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill and Carborough. And we'll be with you next week.